up, everyone, and welcome back to the Hot Take Podcast, where I and my co-host Nat give you our hottest takes on all things NBA. Nat, we just wrapped up the first ever in-season tournament. But before we get to the final game, obviously, I want to start with the semifinals, going back to the Pacers versus the Bucks. What, if anything, stood out to you about that matchup, that semifinal game?
That the Bucks are in trouble.
Why is that?
That's why I kind of view it. I mean, I didn't watch the game. I was kind of stuck at work, but obviously the outcome I had thought would be that the Bucks would win and advance to the finals. But unfortunately, the Pacers outscored them. They obviously beat them. And I'm surprised at this point, you know, we're about 20 or so games into the season, and the Bucks have not yet jailed or, not have impressed us the way we wanted them to impress us by with the Dame and Giannis combination. I guess their defense is still not there yet. And it's funny because the Pacers can't play defense also, and they still managed to beat the Bucks. So that's my one takeaway from the game. I did not watch it. Obviously, the main one is that Haliburton is a god right now, and we can't really, you know, look away from that, to be honest. He's playing at an all-time elite level, but the Bucks is the main thing. That they do not look good right now. I'm kind of scared about, you know, they were my pick to go to the finals, but now it's not so sure.
Well, you mentioned Tyrese, and like, just to kind of put it out there, for the in-season tournament run, he averaged almost 27 points per game, 13 assists per game, almost 5 rebounds, while shooting 52% from the field goal, from the field, and 42.5% from deep with that busted jump shot.
What were his stats in the finals? Oh, you know, let's not get there yet. Not yet.
what was, to your point, what stood out to me, like, I knew what the Pacers were going to be capable of against the Bucks. I also didn't watch the game live. I had to, like, watch the highlights of it. But the thing that stood out to me was Tyrese was scoring at will, like, getting to the rim at will. It didn't matter who was guarding him. He was cooking whoever. Mm-hmm. And I think it was something that I mentioned in the last podcast where I was like, this is kind of why I'm glad Miami didn't get Dame, because, like, yeah, like, offensively, he's a crazy threat, but defensively, it's such a huge liability, because where are you going to hide him on defense? And I think that's where the Bucks struggled, because it didn't matter if Brook Lopez was on tight on Hallie. It didn't matter if Giannis was on Hallie. It didn't matter. Chris mm-hmm. Middleton, like, he has moments that his offense is coming back, but he's definitely not the same defensive player that he used to be.
And like, to your point too about Dame being, you know, defensively, like, not very good, they put him with Malik Beasley in the starting lineup,
yeah,
who's also a terrible defender. Yeah. So it's like, right, how do you hide Dame on defense if his guard counterpart is Malik Beasley, who's just as bad?
I think their hope was that, like, because Malik is longer, that he'd be able to give some problems to Hallie, but Haliburton totally exposed that dude, man. Like, most of his points were against Malik Beasley, and it wasn't even close. Like, it was, I've heard, like, other people say it looked like a layup line. Like, that's how he was getting to the rim when Malik was guarding him.
So, and also, do you remember that viral clip of Malik Beasley when he was frozen during that, you know, fake screen? He kind of, like, stood on defense, froze while the ball handler went past him.
Yeah.
Guess who that was on?
Who was that?
Tyrese Haliburton and the Pacers. Haliburton frozen with a fake screen, went around him, and he stood there for like 5 seconds, just feet planted. It was incredible. It was that team. Crazy.
Nah, man. It's like, when we talked about last week too, like, the layout of the East and, like, who the top seeds would be and stuff like that. The only reason, obviously, that the Bucks would scare me is because of Giannis, because he just scores at will. Like, he just, I'll bring that up a little bit later on too, but he just scores at will. But yeah, aside from Giannis, like, I don't think their team has gotten any better from last year, you know. And the other thing too is it is still early in the season. There's been a lot of turnaround with that team, obviously with the head coaching job switch, offensive, almost said offensive coordinators, assistant coaching. There's been huge changes offensive coaching wise. So like that team hasn't gelled quite yet. And like everyone was, you know, raving about how nasty the Dame Giannis pick and roll was going to be, but we haven't seen it yet. And you could tell Giannis is getting frustrated, which let's see, we just started recording not too long ago, so I'll kind of bring it up now. Could the Heat be a potential contender to get Giannis out of Milwaukee?
I thought we weren't discussing the Heat tonight, but I guess we are now.
It just came up. Because Miami, I mean, you know, it was a potential a couple of years ago, but he decided to stay. But if you're Giannis and you're looking at the team that you have right now, the coaching staff that you have, from the organization as a whole, from the top down, but then you look over to, you know, Miami, warm weather, beautiful place to live, no state tax. Like, he's gonna have.
I think the better question is, will Pat Riley even want to bring him to the Heat? I don't know, man. They had, you know, Dame in limbo, Zach LaVine in limbo. They had, you know, almost every single free agent slash, you know, hot pick off the market. Just they didn't want to pick him up. So
I feel like if things get really bad in Milwaukee, like really bad, and, you know, whether it's one of those things where like Giannis resigns or he walks away, I think eventually if anyone could get Giannis out of Milwaukee, it would be Pat Riley. He would find a way, I feel like. And I feel like he would want a Giannis. Imagine like Giannis and Bam on the same team defensively, what that would mean. I think that would be so nasty.
I mean, since we're on the ludicrous topic of Giannis leaving Milwaukee, what about him going to Golden State with Steph Curry?
Nah, that team is washed. I hate to say it.
He will make them unwashed. He will trade Clay, Wiggins, Kuminga, you know, a couple picks for Giannis. I don't know, man, but
I know your disdain for the Warriors, but like as a basketball fan, as an NBA fan, it makes me so sad to see like how like washed the Warriors are. Like they're
It's so funny because people had them like in the conference finals or finals this year. I'm like, in what planet or in what galaxy are they going to be even close to a championship this year? It's insane. I didn't believe it from the start.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, you look at their roster, it's just, it doesn't look fun. Like, there used to be, like, life in, you know, Golden State, especially, like, among the team themselves. It doesn't feel like that anymore.
I know.
It's not, it doesn't seem like a fun place to play right now.
And plus, who's going to guard this man behind me? That's a question. If they were to be in the playoff picture, who's going to guard this man behind me?
Before we get to the man behind you, let's wrap up the Bucks Pacers semifinal game. But we talked a bunch about the Bucks. We still have to give credit to the Pacers, man. They did their thing. They showed out. They really, really wanted it. I think every guy, you know, 1 through 15 bought in, and they were like, we want to win this thing. And it starts with their leader, Tyrese Haliburton. You know, he said from the beginning, he's never won anything. And yeah, to be on this stage, to have this team, like, you know, he really showed out, and especially in that game against the Bucks. I think everyone was dialed in for that game.
Yeah, and I mean, you hear every single news outlet say this, but it's so true. He makes the right play every single possession. Every single time he has the ball, he makes the right play. Even if he doesn't get the assist, maybe a hockey assist or maybe, you know, a pass to an assist, it's still the right play. And I mean, he fully led that charge to get him to the, you know, IST finals, but, you know, they fell short. But still, give him the credit. You know, they beat Miami, Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee on the way here to the IST finals. So, I mean, that's no short feat or no small task.
I mean, you mentioned the assists and like the good decision making, no turnovers, you know, well, double.
He had a few on Saturday, but. You know, we'll talk about it later.
So let's move to Lakers Pelicans. You know, I'll let you decide. Do you want to talk about the Lakers first, or do you want to talk about the Pelicans side?
You know what? Just because we have plenty to discuss on the Lakers, let's go to Pelicans first. Let's just start.
Oh, okay.
Nice and slow with the Pelicans. Okay. Dude, do you want me to start?
Or go for it first. Go for it.
So you know, towards the fourth quarter, I was watching with one eye on the screen, the other eye on my phone, because at that point, they were up by 40 points. The Lakers were up by 40 points in the fourth quarter. It just like felt like, oh, this is a breeze. You know, like they won't, you know, lose a 40-point lead. You know, we'll be all right. But this Pelicans team does not scare me yet. You know, I don't think they have the talent. You know, they have Ingram, Zion, CJ, Trey for the third, you know, Jose Alvarado, etc. But like, they didn't scare me. Like, I was confident even before the game started that the Pelicans would lose. Because, I mean, granted, you just got CJ back a week ago. You know, he had his lung issue. It's all good now, but it's still too early for us to say about them and how good they're going to be. And it just was pure dominance on the Lakers' end, on the Pelicans, because they just couldn't they couldn't level up to the Lakers. But to the Lakers, and also they shot beautifully from the field and for free. So it was also a mixture of, you know, was it just luck from the field for the Lakers shooting? Was it the Pelicans being, you know, subpar? I think it was a little bit of both. Because the Lakers themselves just shot very well that game. And there's a glaring point about the Pelicans that you'll probably make right now. I know what you're going to say, so go ahead and say it.
Well, my thing is, first of all, I thought it was so sad for the first ever in-season tournament semifinals. It's the Lakers-Pelicans, supposedly, like, you know, it was supposed to be like the Pelicans coming out party with their nice young core. And to get blown out the way that they did, I thought it was so anticlimactic, like, As an NBA fan, like, obviously you want to see more, especially you just had this crazy game before that with the Pacers and Bucks. So you're kind of expecting the same thing. And it was completely one-sided, completely lopsided.
Loved it.
And it was also like it the things that stood out to me looking at the Pelicans, they don't have like a certified leader on the team. I feel like Zion and Brandon Ingram are kind of like in this weird space where they kind of defer to each other. Much like how like it was like that with the Celtics, with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum a little bit there, like the first couple of years where they were trying to like defer to each other. And then finally Tatum was kind of took over that role. I feel like one of them needs to step up and do that, whether it's Ingram or Zion. The way things have been looking, I would say it would have to be Ingram, just because everyone
things
sees
are
it.
Looking.
I'm what sure
things
you
are looking.
I'm sure you've seen the Stephen A. Smith like hot take,
dude. But I genuinely thought like he was in shape, just like a tank kind of built shape,
right?
But then like when I saw it and like a little bit closer, you know, like zoomed in on the pixels, I was like, oh man, now he's not conditioned.
It could also be one of those things too where maybe like the days leading up to the game he was in good shape, but maybe the night before, maybe he did go to a buffet, maybe he ate like pretty, I mean, it's Vegas is known for their buffets, you know, like they got good food everywhere.
You can gain 30 pounds in one day, bro.
No, not 30 pounds, but like you could gain enough to put on like a little belly there and slow you down a little bit.
Yeah, I like the clip of Zion dribbling down the court mid-court went viral because it looked like he was dribbling with a cell phone in his pocket. That's what I saw one of the tweets say. It's like he had a cell phone in his pocket because it was like a short trolley, like slanted too. It was really strange.
But nevertheless, man, like I felt, but just a couple of years ago, he was the second coming, right? Like there was LeBron, and then it was supposed to be Zion. And it's like that performance all the more solidified, like he's not ready, or we don't even know if he's him. Like if if he doesn't take better care of himself, like basically that's essentially what Stephen A. Smith was saying. Like my mindset, I think I asked you this too, like what would he look like if he were on the Miami Heat?
Oh, good Lord. Going back to your point about Zion being him, you're right. He's not him. I know who is him. They're behind me right here. The man behind me right here is him.
So for people who are listening, Nat has a backdrop of one Anthony Davis, a.k.a. the brow.
Not just AD, but AD doing like the LeBron stare down. I don't know what you even call it, but he almost growled when the camera painted him that one second there on the broadcast. He almost growled. It was crazy. Like an animal unleashed.
It's interesting because like maybe just a few weeks ago, a lot of people, myself included, were like, where's Anthony Davis at? Like, how come, you know, he's not, like, people are making jokes, you know, like the bubble AD is long gone. You know, he's on the decline. He seemed like detached and like not focused on the bench and in the game. And a lot of times people would notice like he would get blocked or the ball stripped and he would just kind of chuckle and laugh about it. Like he wasn't taking it too serious. But I think it started with LeBron. Like when LeBron really cared and came out and said that he cared about this, it was kind of like how the Pacers fell in line with Halliburton. I felt like the Lakers, especially a lot of them, aren't multimillionaires. You know, a lot of them are like maybe less than veterans minimum. Mm-hmm. So that money really meant a lot to them. And I don't know. Talk to me about your boy AD. What did you see?
Well, firstly, I think you're right, though. The money does play a big part because you're kind of playing for your two-way contracts, your, you know, vet minimums, your rookies. You know, you're kind of giving them that life-changing money, amount of money. And that was a big driving force, I bet, for LeBron and AD. Aside from wanting their names and the team on the first ever blank, like first ever, you know, trophy, MVP, et cetera, et cetera. But my gosh, man, AD, you know, who's I saw this online too. Who's more dangerous, the bubble Suns or neutral site Lakers?
Well, in fairness, neutral site Lakers, like being in Vegas, it was kind of a home game. There were a lot of Lakers fans there. Yeah.
You're not wrong. Yeah. But I mean, back to AD, I mean, it kind of shows like how dominant he can be, you know, like 40-20 game with four blocks. I mean, good Lord. Like if he had this mindset every game, we'd, you know, have, you know, if he had the betting odds would be just Lakers all the time, you know, just heavily favored, and we wouldn't really have, you know, an actual debate about who would be the Western Conference champions. It would be the Lakers. Cause again, this team kind of goes and goes with the flow with how AD goes and how he plays. And if he's going to be that dominant every night, then we'll be sure of, you know, championship hopes and aspirations. I mean, LeBron doesn't even have to play the way he's playing right now. It's just a cherry on top about LeBron playing the way he's playing. AD is, if he's going to do this every night, I'll be a happy Lakers fan for sure.
So before we move to the IST finals, let's quickly backtrack to the Pelicans. Yep. So with Zion's weight and everything like that, there was a report that came out where team officials have spoken to Zion saying that he needs to lose weight, but he just kind of laughed it off, doesn't take them seriously.
Didn't listen, yeah.
Do you still have, as an NBA fan, do you have hopes for Zion to kind of get it together?
Man, I mean, yes and no. No in the sense of, because we've seen this problem happen before with Zion being overweight, he kind of got in shape, then now is back to this point. So I'm not too hopeful, but it kind of seems crazy where he can still look that way and sort of perform offensively pretty well. On defense, he's going to be a liability, you know, no doubt. I think he's going to catch his breath and sort of, you know, take those defensive, you know, positions to just kind of relax and get his breath again. But offensively, you know, in that game with Lakers, I saw him like dive to the cup, you know, get the offensive rebound, put it back in. You know, I saw him kind of hustle a little bit here and there. So it's still possible for Zion to, you know, reach his ceiling, but he needs to be in shape. I mean, that's pretty much every single person's view on that. He has to be in shape, definitely.
I feel like if he reaches the point that LeBron reached in 2014, when he went back to Cleveland after dominating in Miami, I remember the first images of LeBron that summer were like, oh, he lost like 20 pounds. Like, is he sick? You know, but in actuality, he was investing in his longevity. And if you compare like Miami Heat LeBron to LeBron now, it's almost night and day. And I feel like once that clicks with Zion, like when that registers with him, like, okay, if I want to last a long time in this league, like you can still have the same frame, but like, bro, you got to do something to like, at this pace, I don't see him lasting like another 3 years in the league. I think he's just going to be too injury prone. But let's move on to the actual in-season tournament final, because the Lakers and the Pacers. Number one, was it everything that was it? Was the hype? Did it live up to the hype, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the ultimate goal with the tournament itself was to have, you know, both teams be high market or, you know, big market teams. We got that partially correct with Lakers being in there, and the Pacers were, you know, a nice surprise to be in the finals. But I think that the buildup was excellent. You know, like the intensity throughout all the rounds, knockout round, semifinals, finals. The crowd that game was not as hyped. I mean, maybe towards the beginning, but towards the end, you know, where it got kind of intense, that's when it started to like pop off. But overall, I'm pleased with the outcome of the finals. How about you?
I have a theory. It's kind of like an outlandish theory. Like, I'm not like putting all my eggs in one basket, but have you heard
about... Does it involve the Miami Heat?
No, it doesn't. All right, unfortunately.
Good.
Have you heard like how with the NFL, there's those jokes like, oh, you know, the team got the script, or like the refs got the script, you know, this person got the script.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like it's so eerie how it could really be scripted. I asked you this the other day, like how perfect it is, right? We've had this decade-long debate on who the GOAT is. My generation and older say, for the most part, say Mike. Your generation and newer say LeBron. Like, that's their GOAT. That's your guy's GOAT. And one of my main arguments with you and Lawrence going back was always, Mike did it first. Mike did this first. He accomplished that first. He did this first. How much was it of a drive of LeBron, like, to be that petty and be like, I want to be the first one to win the first ever NBA in-season tournament, to be the MVP of it, because you can't erase that from history. They will forever be the first team to ever win it. He will forever be the first MVP of it. Mike can never say that he's had that. Mike can never claim that. So how much of it do you feel was like that played the role in... from the very beginning, lighting this fire in LeBron? Because we know LeBron, like, he sees things way before they happen. He planned things way before they happen. There's always been theories about, like, he would get injured, come back, and if they won or lost, he could say, oh, look how great I am. We won even though I'm injured. Or, oh, we lost even though I tried playing with this injury. So he kind of always had, like, the narrative in his favor. How much of it was... from the very beginning when they heard about this thing, him being like, I want to win this for this reason, but under the disguise of, I want to win my teammates, you know, $500,000 each.
I was going to go there, because I think that was the main reason that he was, you know, public about, was the money. You know, he wants to win his teammates the money, those on lower deals, the money, right? But I think you're right, to a certain extent. Like, he, while he's still in the league, while he has very... you know, as I had to say, very few years left in his body to even do this. Here's the one chance to really make a mark and make a permanent mark in NBA history and be the first, you know, in-season tournament MVP finals. Well, MVP, basically, it's all tournament. And also win it, too. So, you know, I mean, was he trying to do it to, like, you know, have one up on Michael Jordan? I don't know. I mean, that's something they got to ask him, you know, at his house, you know, but behind closed doors. But, I think it, I don't know, man. He's already the all-time leading scorer. I mean, how many more accolades do you really want that could top that? You know, I think soon he'll cross 40,000 minutes played, you know, or something like that. I forget what the actual number is, but he's already beaten or has a long list of accolades. So this certainly adds to it. And I don't think he really needed it to be, you know, feeling a certain way about the GOAT conversation. I mean, he's already been the GOAT before that, so.
About that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If the Pacers had won this, do you think...
I would have been so sad. But yeah, go ahead.
Do you think, like... because right now, like, Lakers talk of the town, first in-season tournament champion, they're going to hang the banner, the whole nine yards. if it were the Pacers to have won, do you think there would be as much publicity or hype around winning it?
Yes, only because of the rise of Tyrese Halliburton. Like, if it were the Knicks, like, oh yeah, we know Jalen Brunson's that guy. Like, we've been
right.
But the Pacers, you know, this is the stage that I'm gonna assume like elevates Tyrese Halliburton and makes him a concrete star in the NBA. Like, I think without this platform, without this tournament, he would have still been like a league pass favorite, you know, player to watch type thing, you know. But now he's on the like the national broadcast for, you know, the past 2 weeks. All of the news outlets are talking about him during their debate shows. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, right place, right time for him to, you know, finally be seen.
I mean, we can talk about this in a future podcast, but would it be safe to say that Tyrese Halliburton is probably first team all NBA if the season were to end right now?
Yes. Yeah. Right now, yes.
Yeah.
The issue with your question is, like, I think he's definitely a first team all NBA. Who's the other guard? And that could be for another podcast for sure.
Yeah.
But who's the other guard? Because it could be Luka, Shea, Booker. You know, it's tough. We don't
There's been a lot. There's a lot of crazy talent right now. This is something I don't do very often, and it's unfortunate that we're going to have it recorded. But I would like to take a moment to have a little bit of a LeBron James appreciation post. A little LeBron James appreciation rant.
Enjoy this right now. Go ahead. I'm going to lay back and enjoy this.
It's just been so fun the last couple of weeks because I love basketball. Playing point guard, I like to assess the game. I see it from a different perspective. I see things in a different way. I pride myself in making a good pass or setting up a great play rather than scoring or, you know, hitting a three, anything like that. Dunking, you know, I'd rather make the good pass.
Right. Because you can't dunk. Right.
So my thing is, like, it was a treat to hear certain segments with LeBron James going back to a game where they were facing the Grizzlies. And he and AD were talking about defensive schemes and a way to trap Triple J. And everything that LeBron said is exactly how it happened. When he was like, I'm going to force him left, he's going to go right into you. You block it.
Right.
And not even, you know, a minute later in the game, that's exactly what happens. And then, I don't know if you saw it, against the Pacers, and I thought it was so smart. Obviously, LeBron does his homework. He watches film, the whole nine yards. But I'll say this first. There was a point where he was talking to AD again on the bench and was telling AD regarding Miles Turner, go through his chest first, like straight into the chest, and then make your second move, go up for your shot because you're going to create that space. AD did it, executed it perfectly. That's exactly what he did, straight into the middle of Miles Turner's chest. You negate that shot blocking capability. AD had like a nice little bunny right there. And I thought that was an interesting observation to make, because when I was watching the Bucks Pacers highlights, that was the primary defender on Giannis was Miles Turner. All of Giannis's points, majority of them, was going through the chest of Miles Turner. He attacked the chest and then would go up for his next move, the dunk, the layup, whatever the case was. So I just want to give props to, you know, a basketball nerd, probably one of the bigger basketball nerds out there right now, LeBron James, doing his homework, saying things before they happen, but spreading that knowledge to other people, you know, like an Anthony Davis, to help Anthony Davis thrive. Because to your point earlier, Anthony Davis is going to be the X factor every single game for the Lakers.
Yep.
But that's my appreciation post for LeBron James. I will tip my hat off to him, you know, being the first ever team to win the in-season tournament and win the in-season tournament MVP. Kudos to you, LeBron James.
Miles Turner caught so many strays during that little rant you said. Wow.
Sorry, Miles. I have him on my fantasy team.
But the back to Lakers, though, right? I mean, you watched the final game, right? Can you imagine having Cam Reddish, Anthony Davis, you know, starting out, and Torian Prince for that matter, right, as defensive units in your team. They sub out, and you got to now be defended by Jared Vanderbilt, Max Christie, and Jackson Hayes, you know, to a certain extent, right? Like, that's a pretty solid defensive scheme slash, you know, team to leverage. And I think that's going to be also the Lakers, you know, high point in all of this is they're really good defensively. I mean, you saw Cam Reddish locked on Devin Booker in that, you know, I think semifinal game or not a knockout game. And then you saw him defend against Ingram and CJ McCollum with the Pelicans. And then you saw him lock down Halliburton to a certain extent too with Jerry Vanderbilt's help, you know, when he was so subbed out. So, you know, like we have the elements to win or go far in the playoffs because, you know, we have AD, you know, who's very versatile on both ends. We have LeBron, who's the GOAT. Then we have all of these different defensive wings who can not only like defend the other team's best players, but also shoot the three well, you know, punish, you know, the team's defenses and stuff like that. So I think we're in very good shape overall to be a good team and you know, maybe even win the West. What do you think?
Man, that's a pretty bold statement. I mean, only because, you know, you have to go through the defending champions, obviously, the Denver Nuggets, who historically have given the Lakers problems. You have the up-and-coming Timberwolves who just lengthwise, you know, defensively can give issues.
We have the length, too. We have Don't worry. We'll see you soon.
But, like you guys have, defensively, you have the length, but then at what point does it become an offensive liability? For example, Cam Reddish, you know, he's bought into the defensive end of the ball, but, you know, he's being utilized as a spot-up three-point shooter most of the time. But when that three-point shot isn't working, you know, where else are you going to get your offense from outside of LeBron and AD? But more often than not, that's all you're going to need is LeBron and AD. Maybe you get, like, AR-15 in there.
Man, D'Lo's been killing it for us, too, man.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to bring up before we move on. This is where I'm going to go back to LeBron bashing.
Oh, geez.
During Austin Reeves' interview, post-game interview in the locker room, you hear LeBron James in the background saying, who had a better flu game, Mike or Austin?
I mean, dude, do you want to hear my answer? You want to hear what I have to say about that?
There's no way, bro. There's no way you're going to compare Austin Reeves' flu game to Mike's.
Nah. It's a good joke, though. I appreciate that joke.
Yeah. It was. LeBron wild for that. Before we go, I just wanted to talk about fantasy basketball real quick. You and I are facing each other this week. Oh, I think it's going to be a great competition. Myself versus the commissioner here. I'm a little bit sad. I'm going to be perfectly upfront with you.
So. Well, hold on. You actually just won because Dame went 3-17 today. So, yay.
Well, I mean, right now you're up.
Oh, I am? Let's go.
Yeah.
Only by one category. It's fine.
In our league standings, I'm third. You're currently fourth. So, like, we're kind of neck and neck right there. At one point, I was first, and I was super happy with that. But I'm a little bit disappointed in myself.
What goes up must come down, right?
The bigger they are, the harder they fall. So a little disclaimer, I wasn't feeling too well this morning, so I called out of work. Work Monday morning is my ritual. That's when I set my lineups for the week.
Mm.
But because I called out at about 7 p.m. this evening, I was like, oh crap, I didn't set my lineups. So I went to go to the app to set them, and it was too late.
Too late. One 7 p.m. hits, you're screwed.
Yeah, man. I was like, no way. I have Evan Mobley out. Like, I can't even. I have to put him on IR, but he's in my starting lineup. Oh, man.
Good grief. Buddy Hield, solid line on your bench right now. Dang. He's got 4 threes, I believe, so far in the game.
But it was weird because he started off super slow. He started off like, I don't know, 1 for 3 or something like that. Now he's popping off.
Just for the viewers or listeners to understand, right? My team, I guess my top five on my team are Dame, Devin Booker, Porzingis. I would say to a certain extent, Franz Wagner is fourth, mm-hmm. and fifth, Fred VanVleet. I think that's a pretty good starting five. Yours, I believe, let me get this right. You have Embiid, you have Wembanyama, you have...
My next pick after that was Lauri Markkanen.
Yep.
I also picked up Ben Simmons.
Your top five. Oh, he's not top five.
No. But in my head, when I was drafting, I was like, oh, yeah, my team was long. My team is huge.
Yeah. Mobley, obviously. And you have, like, half the Heat team when you're on your team as well. So that's fun. Yeah, you have Jaquez. You got, Heat legend Max Strus.
Yep.
Josh Richardson. Hey, man. It's going to be a tough battle for me.
Josh Giddey. Your
team's very long. Josh Giddey, who we should not talk about for now, at least. for obvious reasons.
quickly about our respective teams. I must say, man, Jaime was probably, like, one of my favorite pickups so far off the waivers. Because
he got
no
dropped
like
three times too.
Yeah.
Like, he went around too the whole week and they dropped him each time.
And when I saw him, I'm like, all right, I'm buying in. Like, I'm all in. And he's been producing, bro. He's been doing really well for me. I need him to do well this week against you.
I'm sure he will. Everybody kind of gets their highlights on me. You know, they star games, career highs, you know, all that when I'm the opponent. So
we'll see. If it comes down to the wire and I end up losing to you this week, I'm going to blame my sickness and be like, flu game. I was out flu of game. It. Yeah.
Not AR's flu game though, right?
No.
Yeah.
Oh man. Anything else before we sign off?
No. I mean, we're kind of getting back into the groove of regularly scheduled NBA games this week. You know, there's no off days. It was tough with no games on the weekend.
Yes.
You know, Sunday yesterday and it was Saturday. So I'm glad there's daily NBA again. It feels good. We can talk about more stuff next week, definitely.
Also, I don't know if it messed you up, but not having like consistent games last week kind of messed me over fantasy-wise. I think I lost in like three out of my four leagues.
I kind of agree that it was like just a waste of a week. Like, just, all right, I'll tank this week. It's fine.
I feel like maybe in the future the NBA should look into something with that, like how to work around that.
Yeah.
In season tournament. All right, Nat. That's it for me. That's it for you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Look out.
See you next week.